August blends and Methodist Queen works only case.
Let's cut the bull.
Welcome, welcome to the annual 74th Hunger Games.
Hello and welcome everybody to Rebellion Radio episode number 18. I'm Hurley Commons.
I'm Alex Bolova.
I'm Elena Thomas.
And I'm April Grisanti.
And folks, this is it. The movie's out, and this episode will be completely dedicated to discussion of the movie. It's been a fun journey getting to this movie, but it's here, and we thank you for tuning in from the bottom of our hearts. And also another thing, spoiler alert, I'm not sure if we have to say this, but we will be going into everything about the film, so this is not a spoiler-free review. So sit back, relax, and enjoy the show. Let's start off with the question, what was our theater experience like? What stories are there? Or just how was your theater? How was your audience? Alex, why don't we start with you?
Okay, so I managed to get to a midnight premiere, and I got there at around 11 o'clock. Show started at 12:15, and I got there, and pretty much the entire theater was full. I had to sit on the very bottom level, like three seats from the very front row. Yeah, a ton of teenage girls in the audience, a lot of guys as well. A few people, including me, dressed up as characters from The Hunger Games. Take your guess as to who I was.
And who are you?
Take a guess.
I don't know.
Peeta.
Katniss.
Effie. Portia.
Rue.
So, overall, awesome theater. I mean, I was glad to see it super full. The only issue is that it was filled with teenage girls who laughed at anything. Like, the most inappropriate times, it would just burst out into laughter. Like, I don't know, Kato, like, breaking somebody's neck, they're like, and I'm just,
it's horrible. I went to a midnight screening at 12:01 a.m., and we got there, and it was, okay, first of all, there is an appalling lack of guys in mine. Like, there was a group I went with, and then that was pretty much it. Like, it was all teenage girls. I'm like, what is going on here? Like, I mean, I know the main person's a girl, and there's, like, this romance thing, but I didn't think it would be over-dominantly, like, it must have been 90-10 percentage. Like, it was crazy. And, of course, anything anybody says that was slightly amusing, I chuckle, the whole theater exploded with laughter for, like, 10 seconds. I'm like, okay. But, yeah, really full theater. I think we had two theaters playing it, and I think they're both, like, pretty much sold out, so, yeah, fun time. And when I returned from the midnight premiere, I actually had a history test that same day, first period, and I studied for that, and I actually got an hour of sleep that night.
I had, like, kind of a similar experience. Like, I went to...
Except
I also
you
went
were
to a
the teenage girl.
Well, I wasn't as... Okay. Like, I went to a midnight premiere also, and I got there at, like, 10, but I had a bunch of people who were waiting in line already, so they just held seats for me. My theater wasn't too bad. There were some parts where I was like, really, you're clapping for this? Or, wow, this isn't that funny. But most of the time, my theater wasn't too bad. It was just like, I don't know if this happened with you guys in your theaters, but like every single time Rue came on screen before she died, you'd hear all these people go, oh.
Well, naturally before she died. I mean, not after she died, but...
No, before. Like, every time you saw her go, you could hear, like, somebody every single time, like, guaranteed to hear, oh. And I was just like, oh my gosh, be quiet.
I had the same thing. I mean, I don't be like... I mean, I'm like, she's cute. I get it. April, how was your... you didn't go to the midnight, did you?
No, I didn't. I went to... Well, I was supposed to go at 3:45, but they added shows, and we ended up getting into one at 1. And what happened to you guys was the complete expectation of what we had, of what me and my friend had for the one we went to. But it turned out there was mostly adults.
Interesting.
And there's like a huge group of adults just there, and
watching
like
the Hunger
right in the
Games.
Middle of the theater.
That's weird.
Yeah, like, and there's like apparently there are only 21 people in there when we got there. And according to the manager, because that's what she said.
That's what she said.
There wasn't... and you know, that nobody really, they were, everybody was really quiet, like, nobody really said anything at inappropriate times, mm-hmm. it was a really nice, quiet theater experience. Everybody really wanted to pay attention and just watch it.
That's good, yeah.
And so I was really happy about that. I was like, I'm so glad there were no idiot fangirls in there.
I mean, like, I want a balance. Like, if there's, like, good parts, you know, clap, that's fine, but, like, if it's way over the top, it can be annoying. Mm-hmm. But the worst thing for me was, in a cave scene, when Peter and Katniss kiss, someone yelled, "Get some!" I'm just like, I'm okay. Let's get into the actual movie. Overall, what'd you guys think?
Could not be happier.
Amazing. Awesome. It was almost perfect.
Almost perfect.
Yes, like, I agree.
This is one of the first times I've actually gone into a movie theater, and it exceeded my expectations. I mean,
nice.
I have a thesis. Like, whenever my friends ask me what I thought of the movie, I have a general thesis, and I'm just going to say it now, and throughout the podcast, you'll hear me explain it. But I believe that this is one of the best book-to-movie adaptations ever, because the book and the movie complement each other. And you'll see why later, but they, like, work well with each other. They actually, instead of, like, saying one is better than the other, both of them together work to create a better story. And that's what makes it excellent. I'll go into more details about that later, but yeah, I was not disappointed by this.
Yeah, I completely agree. I loved the film. It was so, so good. And just, it, like, I mean, there, I do have some complaints, but, mm-hmm. you know, the sets were amazing. The performances were amazing. Yeah, it was all good. Now, I just want to get into some criticism. I just want to get these out of the way so we don't have to keep them in our heads. But what did you guys think of the movie that you didn't exactly like? Because there's got to be that. I mean, like, mm-hmm. we're used to this because we used to be on the Percy Jackson podcast.
And it's like everything to complain about.
We spent many wonderful hours tearing it apart. But for this one, let's just pick out a few things. So, April, what did you dislike about it?
It went sort of fast, I think, but I think just because we weren't in her head, we were actually, like, watching it.
Mm-hmm.
And there are a few things missing, but the one thing that was missing that kind of was upsetting was that the mutations,
yes,
they didn't have the numbers of the tributes, or they didn't acknowledge that they were tributes coming mm-hmm. back,
mm-hmm.
which kind of made me sad, because that was a key thing that was, like, really, like, that would have made a big impact in the movie, and they didn't have it.
All right, well, correct me if I'm wrong, but on an earlier episode, didn't I say that I actually thought, like, the idea of this actually being the film could turn out, like, really stupid? Like,
yeah.
The ideas of having, like, a wolf-like creature, I didn't think it would look good. Honestly, I don't know how they really would convey that. They didn't really focus on too many people's eyes in the first place.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's not what the book was, but at the same time, it's not what the book was. I think what we actually saw worked. I mean, it's not the most original movie monster we've ever seen,
really,
but
well.
It did work.
Yeah.
The way they did it, it definitely, like, they fit it in there really good.
And plus there's...
Go ahead. Oh, well, they at least could have put, the district numbers on there or something.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, you have to also, like, remember that, like actually doing that, like, putting the eyes on the wolves and everything would take so much CGI, and I think that it wouldn't have worked, because if they had tried to even do that, I don't think it would have looked very good, because it would take a lot of money and skill and time. I think just in general it was something that they were like, it's not really worth it, it's not that essential to the whole story that we have to have it anyway. So I think that was probably where they were coming from. Like, I see where you're coming from, but I think just, like, in terms of movie making perspective, it was kind of just, like, not exactly worth the effort, I guess.
Interesting. Okay, so my criticisms actually are a little more broad. It pretty much applies to right after when Katniss gets the medicine for Peeta, because I felt everything was going on extremely well up to this point. Everything was paced perfectly. But then it seemed like right then when she gets the burn medicine for Peeta, they didn't like float out of the ground, and I know that's not a big deal, but I expected that. And then she gets it. First of all, she sneaks off while Peeta's sleeping instead of, like, the sleeping medicine that she got. And then she goes back, she applies it to Peeta, he heals, alright, fine. But then they just start wandering into the woods, and that's when the mutations attack, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, even the lead-up to the mutations I felt like was so anticlimactic, because the mutations attack in the movie, or in the book, sorry, was a big lead-up. Like, it was a huge build-up. They, you know, they couldn't find the water, and they knew that this was the final showdown. For this, they just like, okay, this is wandered through the woods, Peter's healed, and then they just jumped out. I mean, it was pretty freaky, but it didn't feel climactic to me. Did anybody else feel the sensation?
When the Mutchins jumped out, they scared the crap out of me.
Oh my god, I jumped like a mile high. I was, because honestly, during that part, I was kind of just dozing off because I was so tired, and literally, the second it jumped out, like, my knee, like, almost hit this guy I was sitting next to in the face. I was just like, oh my god! So, yeah.
Well, as soon as it happened, my friend looked at me and goes, oh my god. And I was like, I know.
Yeah. Yeah, well, Pearly, I do agree. It is a lot different than the book in this part, and that this is, like, one of the only changes that actually did bug me. Like, yeah, the pacing isn't as good as it was in the book.
Yeah, see, I mean, in the first half, I mean, we'll get into this more, but the first half before she goes to the Capitol, it's so meticulous and slow and, like, careful. So I'm like, okay, this is good, you know, for this scene. And then when they get to the parts that are important, they just, like rush by them. I was so sleepy. I slept at 2 a.m. the night before that, too. Ugh. So I was really tired, but I need to see it again, definitely.
Yeah.
Know what else? How she got the Mockingjay pin kind of pissed me off.
Oh, yes. That's another big one that people are talking about.
I didn't like that at all. I think that was an easy way to get to it, and it bugged me.
I don't mind it, because let's think about it. How does she get the Mockingjay pin in the book? She gets it from a random character that makes no difference in the end,
but
right?
They could have made her dad give it to her, but no, she found it in the seam. I was like, that's not...
I know. Did they even acknowledge that lady was Greasy Say?
No. See, they didn't even put her in... I don't even think that was her. I think they, like...
No, it has to have been her.
Well, it had to be her, but they didn't acknowledge it.
I kind of was wishing that the Mockingjay pin would have more of a sentiment to it. It was more just like, oh, we just found this, and here it is. I kind of wished that she would have, like, had her dad give it to her or something like that, but it wasn't exactly like that. So the main thing I kind of didn't really like about the movie was just Katniss. I love Jennifer Lawrence, and, like, I, like, almost cried, like, 3 times, because just she's so great. Oh, my gosh, she's just, like... such a powerful actress. But the one thing I didn't like about Katniss, I don't think it was necessarily Jennifer Lawrence. It was just more of, I don't know.
The character?
Yeah. Well, not Katniss, but I kind of wished that Katniss had been, she'd been portrayed as being more, like, passionate. Like, she seemed very reserved. Yeah. And, I mean, it's not that Katniss wasn't, like, really up in arms about everything all the time, but, like, for example... on the train ride to the Capitol when they first get on there, and PETA's like, say something, and she's just, like, staring, and she's just not really saying anything.
Like, she's like, oh, sorry, what? I was sleeping.
Yeah, and I think just, like, in general, she was very quiet, kind of, and then there were moments where she would be really, like, I guess you could say passionate about something, and you could see it, and it was, like, really well done. Then there were other moments where she was just a lot more... In the book, you could see what was going on in her head, and you could see her thought process.
I think people keep forgetting that in the book, we're in her head, so it's going to obviously be different in
the entire time.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's I could see that. But just going quickly back to the Mockingjay pin, I just want to say I don't like how they didn't make it, like, they didn't include anything about you having your token. Because if they had the token thing, that would have made... I mean, it's not that hard. I mean, I know it's a small thing, but... Honestly, that would have made it seem more important than just a little pin. I mean, it worked well when Prim was like, here you go. I give it back to you. You know,
and then Cinna puts it on her as just like, shh. And then you're just like, oh, so they're not allowed to have them.
And then, yeah.
Are they?
I know, but, and then it seems like the rules are so lax. Like, okay, they just let anybody bring
anything. And then
anything
at the end, you see when President Snow is putting on her crown, it's hidden by her hair. And, like she was trying to hide it, and then he ended up finding it.
Then why'd you
wear it? Yeah, he's just, like, lovely pin.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, two main criticisms, and my last one will lead into aesthetics, which, oh boy. But, first, like, as I said earlier, the acting was, like, great in this movie. The only times I thought it wasn't good was when it wasn't, like, serious. Like, the very first scene of Gale and Katniss talking, I don't know what it was about it, but it just didn't feel right. Maybe it's because it was supposed to be a bit more, like, stoical in the book, but I don't know. It just... Maybe I just don't like seeing people happy in movies. I just feel... I feel like their acting got a lot better when they're, like, you know, serious and had, like, a real thing to do, but when they're, like, shooting the breeze, I wasn't feeling it.
That's interesting, because I actually remember myself thinking, huh, that seems like a really natural conversation.
No, I found...
When they first started talking?
I've been, like, saying that Gale would be good, and he did very good in a serious part. Like, all actors did great when they had to be serious.
Mm.
But, I don't know, it just seemed a bit too playful. I mean, maybe it's just bringing in what I knew from the book, but, like, he needed to be a bit more serious. He couldn't have just been like, oh, hi, Katniss. Oh, let me just interrupt you from your hunting and look like a monkey.
Look like an ape. When he was looking up the hovercraft, I'm like, ape.
Oh, I mean, okay, I think seeing the book being like brought to life on screen made me like Gale a little bit more. Like,
yeah,
I still
definitely
don't like Liam Hemsworth very much, just because of how old he looks. That's like the only reason I don't like him. Just because he looks like he's like 35 or something. He just looks too old. But
yeah,
if he was like maybe 10 years younger looking, then I would be perfectly fine with him, because I thought that he did like personify Gale very well, I thought. But I just don't like how old he looks. That's the only thing I really have with Gale. But yeah.
Yeah, I agree completely. I sympathize so much more with Gale now, because in the book, of course, you are completely restricted to Katniss, which now looking back is a pretty, like, it's a pretty restricting, like, plot device, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But looking at here, every time, even if it was just, like, 2 seconds of just seeing Gale's face as
she
kissed
Peeta,
I
love that. I
was just like, that
sucks. Yes, well, like I said, when the actors had to be serious, it was great.
Yeah,
that scene acting serious, I bought it. And
no, yeah, when he said, you know, like, I'll take care of them.
I mean, really, the only time where, like, you know, happy conversation was happening that I didn't feel too weird about was between Katniss and Peeta. I've got to say, Jennifer Lawrence and Josh Hutcherson, I think they work very well together in this movie.
I agree. Chemistry-wise, awesome.
Mm-hmm.
And my second complaint is unfortunately the cinematography. I know in the trailers I was saying that it looked great, just enough, like, shaky cam.
I know. I was thinking the same thing, too.
Oh my god. This movie is the personification of misusing the shaky cam.
I know.
Like, whenever there was a fight scene, I could not tell what was happening. I mean,
yeah.
Alright, I know I've taken, like, a film class, and I know why Gary Ross did this in the... Like, when they're in the scene, when they're in the arena, it's very shaky cam, so it looks very rough, it looks very, you know, wild. While on the Capitol, it's a lot of smooth cameras to make it, like, more calm and relaxing. I realized what he was doing.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess I respect him for trying to do something, that sort of that subconscious. But what I like better is being able to tell what's actually happening in the movie. All those, like, the original fight of the cornucopia, the fight on top of the cornucopia. Cuts to whatever. It just...
See, that wasn't even the worst part, though. See, I completely agree. If he had made it, a lot more subtle, it would have worked great, because it would have been more rough in the districts and, like, more smooth in the capital. But that's the thing. If you notice it, and you're like... I was in the, like, probably the fifth, sixth row. I was looking up at it. I was just like... I had to look away, because it was so... Like, when he was in the district at the first scene... He was making so many cuts, like, it was hyperactive.
Yeah, I know, there was, like, 10 seconds of, like, several different cuts of a guy, like, eating chicken. I'm like...
Exactly!
Awesome.
I mean,
yeah,
I know
thanks.
What I knew what he was trying to do, but it's not like we're looking at somebody through the eyes of, like, a mental schizophrenic. Like, it seemed way too friendly. I mean, I get what you're trying to do. You want to make it look raw, rough, emotional, I get that, but, like, when the tributes were walking, the camera would bump completely. Like, not even shaking, it would just bump to the side.
It was really, like...
You know?
Mm-hmm.
Like, I understand what... Like, in the arena, like, I understand it, because, you know, it's supposed to be a TV show, like, it's supposed to be really, like, oh, no, what's going on? But, like, it got too much. Like, in the Kato fight, it was just so bad. I couldn't even... I was like, what's going on? It was just horrible in that scene.
Yeah.
But...
Yeah, it was definitely way over the top, I thought, too. Yeah. And I know nothing about camera angles or anything, but even I noticed it, and I was like, this is really weird. Some cases, I was like, it was good. Like, for example, I don't know, we'll probably talk about this later, but the Tracker Jacker scene. Like, oh, my God.
We'll get to that.
That was crazy. But, so, like, examples like that, that was fine. Like, that was, like, you know, perfect for the setting, but other cases you're just like, who is that and what are they doing? Because it was just so hard to understand, like, what was going on. I think that it shouldn't, using the camera angles should not hinder trying to understand the movie, you know what I mean?
Yeah, right. Exactly. I mean, when it's getting in the way of your understanding or, like, ability not to vomit in nausea, that's when you're
I think problems. This is the biggest problem in the movie, and I don't think we're nitpicking. I think this is just an honest problem.
Yeah. I mean, nobody email in saying, you guys are bad fans. I mean, this is just...
Well, we haven't even gotten into things that we love yet, so...
Yeah.
No, we're just taking our time in the beginning so that we can spend the next hour praising it with love.
With love and affection.
Yes.
But, yeah, camera was like... It was frantic. That's the word I would use.
Right.
Yeah.
So, what did you guys think? Since somebody mentioned it, let's go into the Tracker Jacker scene.
Oh my God, it was like she had just snorted something. It was crazy. I was watching this.
That is kind of what I imagined it was. I imagined a bit more hallucinations, but yeah, he did a good job at making it look kind of high.
It was so good.
That, like, perfect. It was amazing.
It was, like, perfectly. Really disturbing it was good, though. Like, I was not expecting it. Like, I was expecting it. I was hoping that it wouldn't be... like, the bubbles floating everywhere and, like, exactly what, like, it was in the book, because that just would not play off well. It would have turned into, like, Alice in Wonderland or something. So, I was glad that it wasn't quite like that. I thought that they did it very well, because it was just so... just weird. So weird. Like, that's, like, really the only word I can use
I love how it segued into Candace's father dying.
Oh, that was amazing.
Oh, yeah,
it was such an abstract dream sequence.
That was a really good way of giving her the backstory and making a hallucination. Like, it was amazing.
And it made sense, too. Like, it flowed together. I was like, wow, that makes sense. But, the Tracker Jackers was... Like, when I imagined it in the book, I imagined all these crazy colors. But the thing about this movie was that it was so realistic. Like, it was just so... like, raw, we've used raw, but...
Gritty?
Realistic, gritty, yeah. And if you're, like, really hallucinating, you're not going to be doing, like, colors. And when it goes, like, that.
Yeah.
Like, she was, looking around.
Like, the camera twitched. That's the only way to describe it. Yeah, that was... twitching.
Yeah, and then Caesar Flickerman walks out of the forest. And
actually,
like,
can I just mention Caesar and all those guys?
Sure.
Okay, I was not expecting to have those guys narrating the entire film. Like,
yes,
I like how they gave exposition that way. It made sense for the people that haven't read the book, but it still came off a bit cheesy.
I
really liked it, because I think that the point with the marketing team or whatever is advertising this is. Like we are the capital, so it seemed almost like we were watching the Hunger Games, not from the point of, you know, the Hunger Games, the movie that it is, but the Hunger Games from the perspective of the capital, and that these are the tributes in the arena. Like, that's what it felt like, and I really liked that they did that, because it was like we were almost in the capital watching it from our luxurious houses and whatever. So I really liked that.
And I think I want to specify that when I say cheesy, I mean it in the best possible way. Like, this film is full of social commentary. There's a lot of things I notice. I'm like, wow, they're really just, like, pointing to us in the audience and, like, rebuking us for even liking this franchise. Like, there's so many moments where it's like, yes, we are glorifying violence, and people don't really realize what they're doing. I'm like, I'm saying it honest, I'm like, oh my god, that's what I'm doing.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
I like how it's making, like, all of Caesar's stuff is making fun of, like, talk shows and stuff like that, making fun of, yeah. like, sports.
Yeah. Reality shows. Yeah.
And it was, like, hilarious at this, but at the same time, you're thinking, this is horrible. Like when, you know, he's at the, he's doing the, what's it called? He's hosting the, whatever it's called.
Yeah, yeah.
And you have him in the background, you see him just, like, you just see the sides of him just being the talk show host, and him just having these weird expressions, and you're just thinking, in the beginning, when they were explaining, like, these are the Hunger Games, and, you know, the film that they showed up.
Okay, that was, like, the one moment where I really wanted to laugh.
Really?
Which one?
Like, the opening thing, it's like, this is the Hunger Games, and, like, the
very thing. Oh, yeah.
That was just
I'm not talking
so
about
tacky
that. I'm
in such an awesome way.
Yeah, I was I'm talking about, like, the movie that they played right before they called up the names.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I was watching it, and I was like, it feels like they used the same style of doing that, that it seems like we've seen with different, I don't know,
news
can't think
outlets.
Yeah, yeah.
And, of course, Sneeka's beard looked wonderful. Speaking of that, what did you guys think of the Capitol and the Capitol's look and the people's and the fashion?
I liked it. I liked how they looked. I thought mm-hmm. it was really good.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
exactly,
it wasn't too
pictured
over the top, but it was just, like, right there.
Yeah.
I want to talk about one thing that was one of my favorite things. I'm not sure how you guys reacted to it, but...
Yes.
Haymitch. What did you guys think of Woody Harrelson's portrayal? I loved it. It was
awesome.
So good. First of all, it didn't really make sense that he wasn't at the Reaping, but that doesn't really matter. We saw him. The best thing is, we saw comic relief from him. He was mm-hmm. the comic relief, and yet it wasn't the over the top, like, barfing around everywhere drunk. He had, like, a serious side to him. There was this one little scene that I actually was like, wow, that is so good. When he was looking at the kid with the sword. You guys remember that?
Social commentary.
Yeah. Yeah.
When he saw, like, the kid having the sword and, like, stabbing his sister or something with the fake mm-hmm. plastic sword. That was, I mean, he had serious moments. There was, like, the argument with him and Katniss. And then, of course, when, like, Katniss came back from shooting the arrow, he was like, big, like,
yeah, that made me laugh. I thought that was really funny. He did a good job, except his hair.
I think that they kind of rushed his character development, but, I mean, it is
perhaps
so,
yeah.
they had, mm-hmm. you know, a limited amount of time. But it did feel like you liked him a lot quicker than you expected to, because in the beginning, it takes a while for you to warm up to him, but from the very beginning, you kind of see that you understand his character, and in the beginning you just hate him because he's just horrible, but in the movie it's kind of like you can kind of understand him. But
yeah, when he goes like this, Peter's like, so what do we do? And he's like, accept your upcoming death.
Yeah,
he makes a good drunk guy, I've gotta say.
Oh yeah, definitely. I mean, he plays drunk guys a lot.
Yeah, I mean, I loved his story arc of, like, maybe it was rushed, but I liked how you obviously can tell this guy's bitter. He's seen, like, many, 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 many tributes die. But
yeah.
But you can sort of tell that he knows there's something different about these guys. In fact, they sort of stand up for themselves. And I like how he becomes, you know, I think less alcohol and sort of becomes more and more human. He starts, you know, sobering up, being more friendly until at the end. We really do like him.
Yeah, absolutely. A great performance, I thought. He's such a good actor.
Yeah.
No,
and the hair looked awesome.
Yeah,
I still don't like his hair, but it looked fine.
I wasn't really paying attention.
It
looked nice
hair
and greasy.
Honestly, I was more paying attention to his acting.
I was staring at it.
You would.
I was staring at it the whole time. I was just like, look at those locks.
Those luscious locks. Yeah, no, I didn't really notice it. It was. Which is good. I mean, as long as people don't notice it, then that means it's fine.
Than you do
so,
in the
yeah.
actual movie.
Right. You're just looking at one little frame. It looks better when it's moving, though. So, do you guys want to talk about the cutaways to Sneeka and his team?
Seneca, how about
yes.
just all the cutaways in general? Because when I said in the thesis that, like, the book complements the movie, and the movie complements the book. We sort of mentioned earlier how, like, with the book, you get a lot more out of the movie because you know what's going on inside of Katniss's head. And because of that, if you've read the book, you sort of understand her reasoning a bit better. This is what makes the book better. These cuts to what's happening outside the games. The fact that we get to see the process, we get to see, like, how everything works, which was just so cool, and we got to see President Snow and what he was doing, and all this just
Love
made
those
such a better world for the Hunger Games. Like, the just idea that made by the book and the movie could, together.
It just gave you such a bigger scope, you know?
Yes,
I mean,
exactly.
I mean, there were cutaways to a lot of different things. We saw two snow scenes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there was one in the garden, and then there was another one somewhere else. But, it was Wes Bentley. He did a great job. I now understand why they made such a big deal of him in interviews, because I'm like, sneak a crane? Like, who cares? But
yeah.
Yeah,
he really
big
didn't
role.
Even know who he was till I finished reading the books, so.
Yeah, but when that lady was like, look at the mutts, and he's like, they're wonderful, that was like, oh, you get so much insight into how they actually engineered the whole thing. It's like, you know, when the firebombing scene, he goes, you know, she was about to go to the edge, and like we never know any of that. He's like, make a tree fall here. That was so cool.
Yeah, it was so interesting to see how they. We talked about it a little bit last episode. Just watching them. I don't know how to explain it. It almost felt like it was an iPhone app.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like,
yes.
They were just go like this and then tap it, and I'm making hand motions on my desk, and I know nobody
iPhone
can see
app.
Me.
Okay, I'm like, what are you talking about?
I want
hover,
this to be
hover.
An iPad game.
It's, yeah, just like setting up the game, and like they're, it's just, I can't explain it over audio. I'm like trying to make hand motions, but they make no sense.
You're talking about the map, right?
Yes, the map.
Okay,
and
I'll
how
look.
They're, they just like tap it, and they'll just put, oh, we want a tree to fall there. Oh, we'll put the mats here. They just pull it out, and it's really, I thought that was so cool, because I never really thought about that, but you see it in the movie, and it's just like really striking, and I think I said striking a lot in this episode so far.
Yeah.
But the movie was just in general very striking.
It was striking.
Yeah. And also, Seneca Crane's last scene, where he's locked in his
room.
Yes. Oh, that was so good.
Oh my god, that was amazing. I thought that was a great thing.
When he saw the berries, I was like, oh yeah.
I was like, oh my god. The technology that they showed, like, how, like, in the arena, like, at night, when they put up the dead tributes, like, it would get all holography at the top.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I always thought of it as just a plain sky. Like, I never thought of it as just, like, a huge, like, computer. Like,
yeah.
And how they would just drag stuff. Oh, my God. It was just, like amazing.
Mm-hmm. That being said, of all the extra insight we get, I am a little disappointed by what little we see of other tributes during the game. Actually, in general. Because, I mean, I know it's Katniss's movie, but I still expect to see a little more of... It seemed like we didn't really break away from Katniss while in the arena. I mean, I thought we'd see maybe, a hole opening up where the mutations came out or something, you know. But it seemed like it was just limited to her thing.
Yeah.
I mean, in the arena's case, besides Zanika's scenes.
I would have liked
to
have seen,
sorry.
I would have liked to have seen Kato and Thresh fighting. Although,
wouldn't
have been able to see it.
He got killed by the mutts. He didn't get killed by Kato.
Thresh?
Oh, do we know that for sure?
I think
I'm pretty sure
because
I heard.
I got also.
Oh yeah.
I heard the barking and then
I
heard him scream. So I was like,
and then we heard the cannon.
Yeah, and then you heard the cannon. So I was like, oh, that's not right.
I didn't really like that change. I mean, let's talk about this scene. How about we talk about the scene where she gets the medicine for PETA?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. First of all, I don't like the setup of it because. I mean, PETA is... I would expect him to be on his guard, but he just takes a nap, and then Katniss just sneaks off. Did that seem a little weird to anybody? Like, I'm just like, what?
Yeah, I kept on waiting for the parachute to fall.
Mm-hmm.
But
wasn't... In the book, wasn't... she supposed to... Wasn't... What was it? She was supposed to get, like, sleeping stuff, and then she put it in the soup or whatever?
Yeah, exactly. And
if they added that, it would have made more sense.
Yeah. Well, but that aside, like, when they got there, first of all, they didn't pop out of the ground. I'm sorry, but I expected that, you know? But I want to talk about Thresh. Thresh smashing Clove's head into the cornucopia.
Oh, yeah.
That was brutal. Like, I was
wow.
This,
and,
I mean...
And unfortunately, another moment where the audience laughed.
Yeah,
are you serious?
That's what I thought.
Kidding me?
That happened with you. Yeah, the audience with me, they all started, like, clapping and like applauding. And
that
I was like,
not a clapping moment.
And I understand that she literally just, like, tried to cut her mouth off and everything. But still. Everyone around me was like, and I was like, okay, come on. Like, I understand that Clove, she like volunteered and everything, and she's a horrible person. But at the same time, she's not the enemy, mm-hmm. like the Capitol is. And I just felt, because she's still a kid, and I know it just bothered me that people were so like happy about it, kind of.
Yeah, it's not like Katniss gives him a hug and they live happily ever after. Yay, no. You saved me. It's like. That's a whole different thing.
Yeah.
But that was brutal. I'm glad they kept that. I mean, the rock would have been a lot more violent, I can now tell. Yeah. If he actually like banged a rock in their head. Jeez.
Yeah, that would have been.
It was already violent. I thought that I've actually heard some complaints of people that didn't think it was violent enough. I disagree. I understand in the book it's a lot more violent. But at the same time, like, I think that it got the point across. Like, you understand that the Capitol is evil, that they're doing these horrible things to these poor kids. And I think that because if they had drawn it on even more, it would have been, I think, just too much. I thought it was fine.
Yeah. I mean, we saw enough when we saw the camera, like, go across the tributes after the bloodbath beginning. Yeah.
Okay, can we talk about that for a second? Because was anybody else's feels just going all over the place when they saw that little boy?
Yeah.
Feels.
I said feels.
Like emotions?
Emotions. Sorry. Yes.
Because he was just hiding, and then suddenly he dies, and that just killed me on the inside.
Kato just slices his head off with a sword.
Oh my god, my feels were just all over the place. I was just like, why? Why am I watching this?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was so, like, even in the beginning.
Brutal.
In the, before they go into the arena, there's the shot of where Caesar's talking about, like, that one year where the kid's, like, beating the other kid with a brick.
Oh,
like, even that, I was like, my God.
That's the moment I knew this movie is going to be really...
Yeah.
They really, really pushed that PG-13.
They did.
Yeah, like, well, they had to cut out 7 seconds or whatever to make it PG-13, though. Oh, no.
Do you know what scene it was from?
I don't know what scene it was from, but it was actually to change it to 12-something for the British version.
Oh.
Yeah, but
yeah, it was definitely, they didn't exactly hold back on much, which I think that could be seen as a good thing and a bad thing at the same time, because as a good thing because they're trying to show that how evil the Capitol is and how we kind of as a reflection on us as how mm-hmm. desensitized we are and everything. At the same time, it's very violent and we're already desensitized enough. So I mean, you have both sides of it, I guess.
Yeah, see, I think the thing was, like, looking at this violence compared to something like Call of Duty or some other thing, it seems pretty mild, you know? Like, it's just fights and all mm-hmm. that. But the way this movie is shot and portrayed and, like, built, like, the way it's, like, shown, it's a lot more harsh. Like, you know, these are kids. And, you know, like, if you wanted to go super violent with this, that would have been a way over the top. I think you would have been missing your message.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I just think there were some other complaints just about, you know, minor things taken out. And people have to remember that Suzanne Collins was the one who wrote the script. And, I mean, they modified it. But
right. She was a co-writer, though.
Yeah, and I'm so glad that she did, because you can tell, like, that is so rare for an author to be one of the executive producers and screenwriters. So... It was just, I think that she made sure that they kept to the main themes of the book and they did not go overkill on violence to lose the theme. So I was very glad that
we are happened. So we are so lucky how amazing this team was.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's so many places this movie could have gone horribly wrong.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And even though we've complained a lot, but...
I think we're making up for it.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, no, but the complaints we have, I feel like they're valid. They're not, like, mm-hmm. nitpicky.
Yeah.
I do have one thing I want to talk about, though. And, Alex, I think me and you can discuss this. The score.
Yes.
Okay, look. This actually was one of the disappointments for me. Mm-hmm. Did you feel the same way?
The thing is, for me, initially, I was a bit disappointed that there wasn't, like, a Hunger Games theme. However, I'm, like, listening to it. I mean, the soundtrack comes out on the 26th, so I'll be listening to that and see if I actually can pick out anything.
Right. Initially, by the way, we're recording on the 23rd, by the way.
Right.
Yeah.
And so the thing is, the only like part of the score that actually stood out for me, well, two things. One, like Caesar Flickerman's like television show theme. That's
right, but that
cool. But
yeah.
And then also when like the very first cornucopia scene where everybody's running to get their weapons, it almost reminded me of The Dark Knight, like how there's that buzzing that just got louder and louder for the Joker's theme. This was
that,
just
like,
sort of like
a siren.
Pitch. Yeah, it was a siren.
Yeah.
It's like,
and just kept on getting louder and louder as the scene went on. And I loved that. But rest of it, it was just conventional, which is disappointing.
See, I would venture to say that I'm even more disappointed with it, because not only was it so conventional and nothing stood out. I mean, you gotta, the score has to take over in at least one scene, you know? Mm-hmm. Like, some scenes, my problem was it was so minimalistic, you know?
Right.
Like, that works in some places, but there were many parts here where it was just so empty that I'm like, there has to be some music here, but there wasn't, and I felt the music, you can, lack of music or music can elevate a scene's emotions, and I thought music could do a lot more.
Mm-hmm. Right, and I mean, like, something that was actually the most disappointing I was actually for Rue's Lullaby or the Deep in the Meadow one.
That was good. Yeah,
I mean, but it wasn't utilized. I would have loved to have seen like something done, like have a big swelling orchestra come in as she was laying down the flowers or something.
Yes.
Well,
I mean,
didn't,
it was.
Why didn't we talk about that earlier? About we didn't want that to happen.
Who would want that? That's so awkward.
No. Okay. But as she was dying, though. I mean, after...
Why would you want music?
No.
It's such an intimate moment.
After Katniss is done, okay, after she's done singing, and she's just mourning, and then something there, put something in. I don't think that would have been awkward. I think you want to put some orchestral, just, okay, maybe not even a song, just a swelling of strings, like, something, I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, but next week we'll probably have a review of the soundtrack when we actually can hear it.
Right, when we actually have the songs available to us, but... Nothing really stood out. I mean, there's like this little twingle thing that was like ding 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 ding. I remember when she was shot the apple,
right?
The pig.
Yeah.
There was that little twinkle, little like ticka ticka ticka, and that was kind of cool. But getting back to what we talked about before the cornucopia, that countdown and that scene building up to the thing, and how like it cuts from the countdown straight to Gale and the countdown stops. I thought that was really well done.
I'd say that's one of the best, or one of the most well-done scenes in the entire movie.
Mm-hmm.
The tension
builds. Yeah. The countdown, they started off really early, and then they turned it off, and I thought that was a great move.
And speaking of music, we did get our Safe and Sound in the end credits.
Yeah.
Yeah. T-Swift, she came in for us. Yeah.
She was like the second song, though, so
we
by
got,
the time
yeah,
she came on,
it
like, everybody
was Arcade
was going.
Fire first.
Yeah, I love that though. When you see Snow walking up, and it's like
epic,
right?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like Snow's theme. That was really good.
Well, just speaking of Snow, I think we talked about this a little bit. But Snow and the conversation between President Snow and Seneca Crane,
mm-hmm.
just in the Rose Garden, and how he's talking about how Katniss is a hope, but he doesn't want her to be too big of a hope.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that, didn't we talk about this in the news some time ago, how, whatever his name is, the actor.
The new scenes?
Donald Sutherland.
Yeah, how he got the role because of those scenes, and I just thought I thought that was so cool that he got it because of that, and that he wrote that, because that was probably one of my favorite scenes, not the absolute favorite, but it was very good, and I really liked that, and I thought that was very, very cool that they added that just because of him. So
yeah, he wrote like some sort of essay, and Gary's like, I'm gonna go write some scenes.
Yeah,
but no, those are good.
Mm-hmm.
Contain it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Speaking of actors that like did an awesome job, Cinna.
Mm.
Oh yeah,
I was impressed by Cinna.
Yes,
I was really impressed.
I have no complaints anymore at all.
Nope.
About the casting or anything.
Yeah, I did. Was there really any weak point in the acting?
No,
I thought it was all just pretty consistently strong.
Lenny Kravitz, I respect you so much now. I mean,
yeah, I remember our first episode, or no, our second episode.
Yeah.
Nobody liked him.
Like, ah. A rapper as in a...
Yeah.
But you know what? Awesome. Just, yeah, he did a great job.
Yeah. And so did the other tributes, I thought.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Thresh was good. Thresh's scene.
I know we were talking about earlier about how we were wondering if there was some sort of thing going on between Cato and Clove and if he would see it in the movie.
Right.
Yes.
Very obvious. I did not... I actually think we saw more of something... Just a little... I don't know if this is just me. I saw a little more of something between, like, Cato and Glimmer.
Definitely.
Did you see that? Like, she was just... Not exactly something, like, really overt, but... Just, like, she was, like, very flirtatious, I guess, with him.
Yeah, no, they were. They were, definitely. Because, like, I think they did, like... When they were sleeping underneath the tree, they slept next to each other.
They were like cuddling under the tree, and it was just like, forget the Cato Clove ship. It's Cato and Glimmer, although she died.
Yeah, that ship has sailed and sunk.
Yeah.
Although, let's give credit to my girl Isabel Furman.
That was great. She, I remember somebody was saying that, like, how could she hold down Katniss because she's so small, and she was good. She was diabolical.
Yeah, she was an orphan, so I already kind of was scared of her.
Yeah, I know. I saw us part of orphan. It's freaky.
Speaking of the tributes, weren't we supposed to, like, learn their names and learn Foxface's name?
I know. They made such a big deal of that.
Is anybody else disappointed about that?
They did. I think they did say Foxface's name.
Quiet, though.
Yeah, like, in the beginning, somewhere during her interview, Caesar's like, oh, now it's time for whatever her name is, and it was so quick that you didn't even notice.
Yeah, what happened was they, like, went straight into the, like, montage of their interviews. I'm like, no!
Yeah.
I was really hoping that we would see, like, the reapings of the others, but they didn't show that.
Oh, yeah, I was disappointed by that, but the scene in District 11 after Rue's death.
Yes.
Can I say how great of an addition that was?
That was so powerful. It was...
Yes.
That had to be my favorite scene in, like, the whole movie, because...
That's definitely up there.
I was, like, everybody, like, my friend and my grandma were crying before that, and I was really close, and then as soon as I saw that scene, I just started bawling, like, I couldn't help it.
Mm.
Like, it was just so powerful to me, like, I couldn't contain my feels.
No, yeah, when I saw that dad, like, just imagine, you're... Oh, jeez.
Yeah.
Oh, God. Was this in the book, a riot in District 11?
It was mentioned, I think, like, catching fire?
Yeah, maybe. Yeah, but now that we saw it, oh, that was so... I mean, I think all the audio kind of, like, muted. Like, when there's, like, a bomb goes off in a war, you know, like, it just goes, eh.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I still just got chills just thinking about that scene. It was just so good.
It was,
I don't even think I can remember what was in that scene because I was crying so much.
it was the dad, like, knocking over and all the...
Yeah, like...
The plants. I mean... The holder of the seeds or something.
My favorite moment still is the, you know, three-finger salute.
Mm-hmm. Yes. That is just I did that in the theater. I actually did that in the theater.
Oh, you did?
Because I was crying at that moment.
Oh, you did?
And I was like...
I did too.
I was the only one who did it.
Do anything besides sit in my chair.
And my friend started laughing, and then I was just like, I'm doing it! I regret nothing! I am from District 11, according to the Capitol. I will do this.
So, okay, I want to know, when did you guys cry, if you did cry?
Rue's death.
I almost cried with Rue's death, but the part where I like, nearly did start crying was, I know we already saw it in the trailers, but just when Prim got called up, and just that, it was so well done, just the way... The pacing and everything, just everything combined with the acting and just everything. I've said that so many times, but it just was so good. And I just was like, I know you've already seen it, we've already talked about it, and we already were expecting it, but it just was really well done.
Mm-hmm.
So. I mean, I think the closest I came to crying was the countdown before Katniss went into her shoot between Cinna and Katniss. Like, maybe just me, but like, just the dread of what was about to happen just like built up. I wasn't bawling, I wasn't crying, but it was, like, the most I... Besides, you know, the three-finger salute, it's, like, one of the most I felt in the movie.
Right, yeah, when she... Her face when she's, like, turns back when she's in the tube.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I think the listeners know me well enough by now to know that I did not cry. But when I felt the most emotions, not Prim's calling up. I felt that was just, like, complete shock. But when Prim was in the room with her, there's something about that scene. I really did like Prim's acting, or what's her name?
Willow.
Willow Shields, yeah. That was really good, I thought. Their interaction. Yeah.
And by the way, I wanted to mention, just from the very beginning, I noticed how well they kind of, like, began. Like, even from the very beginning, you could tell that Katniss's relationship with her mom was very strained. Like, mm-hmm. from the very beginning, I noticed, like, because in the book, it is said eventually, but from the very beginning, you can see that, because I noticed how Katniss really is like a mom to Prim. Like, she's not like her, she is her older sister, but at the same time, she's like her mom, and you could just see, like, her mom just standing back there, just looking kind of, not exactly jealous, but just wistful, sort of how, of Katniss's relationship with Prim, but their mom doesn't have that relationship with her, and so I thought that was really just well done, and just from the very, very beginning, and then it's, like, confirmed later on by just Katniss telling her, you can't tune out again, you can't do that.
Yeah, that scene was pretty powerful. I was just like, whoa, mm-hmm. things just got real.
Yeah.
did anyone else think, well, I felt like Rue's death was going to be drawn on longer. Like, it felt pretty rushed and short to me.
Mm-hmm.
I felt like they were going to, like, draw it out, like, way longer than they did. But it was still, like, an amazing scene in general, but
yeah, I do feel like most scenes in the arena themselves, like, the little action pieces were rushed, especially, when Kato falls down to the mutts, the scene where Kato has Peeta on the ledge, I thought that was pretty well acted by Alexander Ludwig. That's all fine and good. He falls down to the mutts, and he, like, gets eaten for, like, 2 seconds, yeah. and then Katniss puts the arrow. And then I always imagine them waiting and, like, them waiting it out. Nope, the sky just turns light, and then they find the rule change, and then they just eat the berries almost immediately. Did that feel rushed to anybody else?
Yeah, it felt kind of rushed for me, too.
I mean, she pulls the berries straight out, and she's like, alright, bottoms up.
Actually, and then the real rush moment for me was, they announced they just won the Hunger Games, and I, like, point out my entire theater, including me, clapped for them.
Really?
Yeah, I know, it's a terrible thing to clap, but you know what? The entire theater is clapping. They just won the Hunger Games. Yay!
Yay!
What did you guys think of Kato's speech thing near the end when he had, like, Peeta in a headlock? I had kind of mixed feelings about that.
I really liked it.
It gave him more character.
It just seemed so out of character for him.
Really? Why?
I don't know. I mean, just the way I've always seen Kato, he's so arrogant and prideful that he would never ever admit weakness, and he was kind of doing that.
But he was so bloody and torn up, I felt like when he was, like, he was kind of whimpering a little bit, he was like, I can win this. I was just like, props to Alexander Ludwig.
Yeah, I mean, it's nothing against the actor. I just felt like it was kind of out of, I don't know, just unexpected, I guess.
I like that.
I mean, the real moment I felt it was rushed was after they got picked up by the, why am I
blanking?
The hovercraft, and then suddenly she's there with Haymitch. I'm like,
what scene
did you just cut?
Yeah.
There's absolutely no post-traumatic stress, I mean, obviously not the whole disorder, but, like,
and Peeta still has his leg.
Exactly, yes.
Oh, yeah, he did lose his leg in that one. I was like, did he lose his leg in this one or the next one?
No, he loses his leg.
He loses this one.
During the interview, he's supposed to, like, pull his pants up and not okay sorry pull his pull the bottom quarter of his, like, pants up, and, like, you see the robotic leg, and I feel like not doing the leg thing is a pretty big thing, because the leg is gonna be always, like, a scar from the games. I mean, you know, you need something pretty substantial, but he's fine, you know.
Yeah Hopefully in the next movies they'll at least have him walk with a limp or something to show that he is scarred from it.
Well, I mean, the thing is, the end of the movie, I think the biggest change, which I'm not actually too sure how I feel on it, is that Peeta still thinks Katniss is in love with him.
Oh, right. Yeah. I actually did not even notice that till now. Because they just changed so many things in the ending, I'm just like, alright, I'll just go with it.
I mean, I think I might actually like it. Because it makes it, like, it's one thing to, you know, start a movie with the two people hating each other, but, like, sort of the hate sort of grows as they're separate between books, but if they do this, I don't know, I think it makes it, it'll make it a whole lot more tragic when, like, she reveals that she doesn't love him, then, like, they're put into the gangs with each other. I think they're really setting it up for a better sequel.
I kind of disagree, because I feel like Katniss and Peeta's relationship didn't really develop the way they cut a lot of the cave scenes, which I didn't mind, but it seemed like the whole love thing was way too sudden.
Yeah.
I mean, in the books, it basically turns out, like, they sort of kind of, like, playfully hate each other, and then they get to know each other, a lot of cave stuff, and, like, there's a story time, you know, they get to know each other. Yeah. In this one, they, first of all, they're really polite in the beginning to each other, and, like, they just, you know, they have the flashback of the bread scene when they were kids, and then that's it. Then they just slowly start loving each other from that. Did that bother anybody else? I mean, I felt like the jump in the books is a lot easier to believe.
I felt like the cave scene was kind of overhyped because, you know, like, every other interview, Josh Hutcherson's like, cave scene, yay!
Well,
and,
yeah,
like, everybody's
like, Jennifer Lawrence.
In a cave. I would be excited.
So, like, I mean, there's nothing wrong with that, but I just felt like everybody kind of overhyped it, I guess.
I was kind
of expecting it to be a little bit longer and to delve into, like, I guess how their relationship came to be, sort of, which I don't know. It was okay, but it just seemed like there was something left to be desired.
Missing,
sort of.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like we learned a lot more about Katniss in those scenes in the book. But
a lot of the people I talked to were like didn't want to read the books or see the movie because people were overhyping the love triangle.
Oh, it was so underplayed in this movie.
We didn't see, like, any of it until, like, the last second, and every time they would kiss, Gale would get all ticked, which I loved his facial expressions then.
It wasn't even tick, it was just, like, so sad. Just... Alex, what do you think of the love scheme?
I am so thankful that it was underplayed to what I expected.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I was expecting it for it to be very Twilight-ish. Like that sort of level of, like, sort of that level of romance, how I thought it was just going to be the entire movie, it was just going to be a romantic tension. But no, it wasn't, and I'm so thankful for that.
Yeah.
I mean, honestly, I thought it was actually just enough so that, like, Peeta would think it was true, but the audience sort of knew that Kat... Like, it was a bit quick, but as an audience member, I thought that was just sort of Katniss being a bit, like, acting, if that makes sense.
Yeah. I mean, it was very... I feel like maybe they'll reveal the whole... I mean, did she really know that Peeta loves him fully either?
Yeah, I feel like... And you were saying earlier about them not having her tell him that she doesn't love him. I think that if they had ended it like that, no one would want to go see the next movie. They'd be like, that's a horrible ending. I don't want to see any of these movies ever again. So I think that because they didn't end it like that, that was a better play for, like, people don't want to go see the next movie if they're going to end it like that.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that that was fine. But I think that the way Jennifer Lawrence just portrayed Katniss with Peeta, it was kind of like you could see that she was trying to act in love with him, but she wasn't really. So I think that was very well done.
There was, I thought for some reason that they didn't make her dirty enough. She was, like, so clean
in the arena.
Yeah, like, I thought she was so clean. Like, the only thing she had wrong with her... Oh, look, there's the preview on my TV. Was her eye. Like, there was no dirt on her face or anything. Yeah. I was like, what the heck?
Now that you mention it, I do remember. Mm. Yeah.
Yeah. I think they were trying to not... make her look ugly. Like, I think that I really liked that, like, them, and not that, I'm not saying that Jennifer Lawrence would look ugly, like, with dirt on her face or anything, but I'm saying I really liked how the majority of the film, except for when she was in the Capitol during interviews and stuff, for the majority of it, she wasn't wearing much makeup. If she was, I didn't notice it, and, because she does not need it, she's, like, gorgeous, so I thought, I was really glad about that. So I think that if they had added a bunch of dirt across her face and scratches and stuff, people would have been like, ooh.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Although, speaking of, like, you know, dirt and stuff like that, something that I think really needs to be said, makeup. I'm not usually big into makeup, but oh my god, this movie had excellent makeup. Like, predominantly the Peeta stuff, like his arm.
Oh,
his
yeah,
face,
that was cool. That was cool.
I think that deserves like an Oscar by itself, right there.
Makeup. Yeah. I would say makeup. Oh, well, actually, we'll talk about Oscar stuff later. But here's my question though: how did PETA get the makeup in the arena?
I figured
maybe
there's
he just found
mud.
Stuff.
Well, I think he was in the river and he just used the stuff there. He didn't really need anything else.
But he painted his head, half his head like silver, the same color as a rock. Where would you get that?
He can probably mix any color he wants because he probably is a master color mixer.
That's true. Mm. He has a little mixer of paints in his as his token. Oh yeah. Wait, there are no tokens.
Oh wait.
But Oscars. What do you guys think, first of all, of the Oscar chances of success at the Oscars?
Okay, I'm going to say makeup because of the PETA and the Capitol. I think it should get a nomination. I think Best Adapted Screenplay, possibly a nomination for that.
I don't think that's realistic.
Well, that I can dream, can't I?
No, you can't, actually.
Okay, then.
I'm
so
kidding.
No.
You can dream. You can dream.
I was going to say that I wanted to be best cinematography, but no, we've complained about that.
Cinematography
and editing.
Editing, maybe. I mean, the editing, I can see how people have argued that the Oscars don't even judge it on best editing, but most editing, like if you just add a ton in, they like it. Mm-hmm. I could see the Oscars nominating, but not for cinematography.
Don't most of the Oscar nominations... I think, at least recently, a lot of them are about movies that have a lot of stuff to say about, like about social commentary and things like that. So, I don't think that Hunger Games would ever get a nomination for, like, Best Picture or anything. My goodness, never. But, because it's just so mainstream.
Yeah.
But if it wasn't so mainstream, I think it would actually have a chance. But just because it's so popular, I don't think it stands a chance, but... Yeah.
I mean, I think the highest award I could see it winning is possibly Best Visual Effects.
No. Mm-hmm. I couldn't see that. You gotta have something that's moving, that's really cool, like motion. I mean, they had cool visual effects for the Capitol that looked great, architecture looked awesome, but the only really thing that they needed it for was the Mutts, and the Mutts were underwhelming.
Hmm.
They were just giant bulldogs.
Yeah.
Yeah, I thought they were more like wolves when I pictured them. That's what I thought they were in the books.
I picture them as the werewolves from Harry Potter 3.
Yes, exactly that, actually.
Oh, like, I compared that to... that's funny, because I was in the car on the way home, and we were comparing it to Lupin.
Yeah. I mean, from the third movie, like, he looks all bony and, you know. But I could see it winning Best Makeup. I could easily see it being that. I could see it winning Best Set Design.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see.
Who do you think there's any actors or actresses that did good enough to deserve a nomination?
Okay, look. People, I think there's a ton of great fine performances in this. The problem is, as Elena said, there's all this baggage with it being such a mainstream thing. Mm-hmm. And not only that, but like sort of it has the Twilight audience, you know? Like whether we like it or not, whether the franchises are the same, there's a lot of crossover in the audience because there's something new to latch onto. New love triangle. But if you look at the film as itself, it really is Oscar worthy, I think. I mean, it's such a different kind of mainstream film. It's not like your usual popcorn film.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, it's so artsy in places. I couldn't even believe it. Like, they use techniques that you don't see, like, in Harry Potter.
Mm-hmm.
You know? I mean, yeah.
Yeah, and that's the thing. I think, like, the Harry Potter books, for example, have a lot of different messages that are, like, very, like, Oscar-worthy in a way, but they just aren't portrayed well on film, because there's so much else to do. This film, specifically, like, has a lot to say about things that I think could be Oscar-nominated for. But like you said, it's just that people don't want to seem... The Oscars, I think the people don't want to seem discredited in a way by nominating some teen movie kind of thing.
Right. I mean, if you've never heard of Hunger Games, I mean, you've never read them, you haven't seen a trailer, but you've heard of it, all you're going to hear about is throngs of screaming girls, and it's like, okay, they're not going to nominate that for anything big, which is a shame, but...
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
But critics' reviews have been excellent. It has currently an 86% on Rotten Tomatoes, And the consensus is, quote, thrilling and superbly acted, The Hunger Games captures the dramatic violence, raw emotion, and ambitious scope of its source novel. So that is really good, because just to give you some comparison, this is 86%. Inception, which is nominated for Best Picture, got an 86%. Same thing.
And I think we should also point out that while Rotten Tomatoes provides the critical viewpoint, it also provides the viewer viewpoint, and 95% of just the average person liked it, according to IMDb. Yeah. And it has an 8.2, or according to Rotten Tomatoes, and it has an 8.2 according to IMDb.
Yeah, I wouldn't go on IMDb, though. I don't trust that.
IMDb has a lot more negative reviews than I've seen, and mostly from people that haven't read the book.
Yeah, Rotten Tomatoes, you can actually like tell who's rating what. I mean, you can see how many fresh reviews and rotten reviews are.
Yeah, and I would like to see the this perspective of the movie from a non-movie goer. Sorry, somebody who hasn't read the books.
Yeah.
Because I went with a bunch of people who have read the books already.
I actually went with I went with my neighbor, but my neighbor's sister was brought along, and she had not ever read the books, and she got it. She said she got it perfectly. She understood it, and it was still. She said it was like her favorite movie.
Oh
wow!
She
had picked up the book.
Nice. Yeah, I agree with your consensus now more than ever. I feel, Alex, because the movie and the book stand on their own perfectly fine. You know, they're goods on their own, but they both provide something that the other one doesn't, you know? Mm-hmm. Insight into Katniss, and then the one this one provides insight into other things. So I think the movie will be popular among anybody because it's just such a standalone thing. You can just follow it easily.
Mm-hmm.
And I just want to quickly mention box office. It broke the record for a non-sequel film for a midnight opening. It's 19 something million for just midnight screening.
Wow.
So and that's for non-sequels, and for with all sequels, it still ranks 7th over The Dark Knight. It's over Star Wars Episode 3. I remember people sitting on the floor for that movie. But
yeah, I predicted this movie would make a ton of money opening weekend, and I think I'm going to be right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think it's going to exceed 100 million easily.
Oh, one thing we didn't talk about was like the tribute parade.
Oh, yeah. Oh, sure, yeah, okay. The girl on fire. What did you guys think of the costume?
It was really good.
Yes, she did. I thought it looked good. The fire seemed kind of weird, but I guess it's going to look weird if it's just fire coming out of the back, but...
Yeah, I agree, but it was still... I think they did the best they could with it, so I think it was good.
Yeah.
I like how they held up their hands together.
Yeah.
That was really...
Mm-hmm.
I wasn't really paying attention to them in the tribute parade. I was mostly paying attention to the other costumes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I remember...
Because I had already known what District 12 looked like, so I was really excited to see how they portrayed the other ones.
Yeah, Cloves was like... Clove and Cato, they were in like Greek something. It was cool. I agree. And also, I just want to mention, I liked how Haymitch had these little notes in the sponsored packages.
Mm-hmm.
Those are pretty funny.
That added comedy.
Yeah.
Yeah, as dark as this film got, there are still some moments that actually were funny and not just, you know, stupid teenage girls.
Yeah, I mean, Hamish going...
When PETA's gotten better and they're like, okay, so let's go hunting, and PETA's like, okay, I'll take your bow.
Yeah.
Awkward pause.
Just kidding. Oh, we didn't talk about the cornucopia itself. Weird rectangular
black box. It
didn't really
look like
box.
A cornucopia.
See, okay, at first I'm just like, whoa. At first I was like, oh, wow. It really shocked me, but then I kind of like it because, again, this movie is so much more realistic than what I pictured. I pictured a nice, shiny, gold, big, giant horn.
Yes, yeah, exactly.
But it's like, would that really happen if they actually made these games? No, it would be like this giant building that looks cool. Granted, the fight on the top is a little less cool because it's on a flat surface.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But, oh well. Yeah. I mean, I still like the general look of it. I guess.
Yes.
You guys also
did?
Yeah.
Yeah. But I'm disappointed that the mutations, that didn't build up you know, like, I mean, if they didn't show that they were, like, the DNA of the tributes, okay, but, like, they didn't build up to it at all. It was just a surprise, which is a totally different kind of thrill, you know.
Yeah, and even right before you see the Mutts come out, PETA asks, you know, they're wandering around in the woods, and PETA asks Katniss, what is that? And she's like, the finale. And so you're expecting it to be this, like, really huge climactic thing that, you know, it's going to be drawn out a little bit more than it was. And so when it actually happened, it was a little more anticlimactic, and yeah, I was hoping it would have been a little bit better. And some people thought it was fine, but I didn't. I thought it was, you know, it could have been better, but it wasn't horrible, but you know what I mean.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, when in the book, when he's running out of the forest and she shoots him with the thing and it deflects, we don't even know that he has the armor in the movie.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. I forgot about that. Yeah.
Yeah, but,
They also didn't touch on, well, they kind of did, but how she goes half-deaf.
Right.
Like, they kind of did it because it kind of muted itself. Everything kind of got muted after it happened. And I was like, oh, maybe they're going to say something, but they never did.
Yeah.
And it's kind of like she goes half-deaf, he loses a leg, like, it kind of goes together.
That's another thing. One last thing I want to mention. Alex mentioned this briefly, but the opening titles was so weird. I remember, like, actually looking at the person next to me and being like, is this for real? Is this actually the opening of the movie?
Me at Star Wars.
It was a weird font. Okay. That was a weird font. It was too calm and peaceful. And then it was, like, such as, like, this slight music. It wasn't even, like, set up to be a propaganda video from the Capitol. It was just this little nice little quaint montage. Or not montage, but, like, text.
I think it helped people who probably hadn't read the books, like,
but
just know and have an idea.
But they did a propaganda video after that I liked. I mean, it was perfect propaganda video style.
But it didn't explain much. Like, I think with the text in the beginning, it kind of said, okay, this is what happened, and it's going to be mentioned a couple of times in the movie, so just read this.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I was glad they did that, because I think it would have been... They really reinforced making sure that people would understand what was happening.
I think we've discussed everything, but I don't want to miss anything.
Well, I'm sure there'll be some fan that'll go, wait, you forgot to mention...
Right.
Well, we have a year and a half to talk about this movie.
Yeah. Yep,
that's, talk about Catching
that's
Fire.
That's all we're going to do for the next year and a half. So get ready, everybody. No, but... So I think that wraps it up for our discussion for this episode anyway. I'm sure we'll have much more discussion in episodes later to come. But be sure to visit Rebellion Radio Podcast for everything about the show. You'll find handy links to our iTunes and Tumblr. And by the way, please leave an iTunes review. That really helps us out. If you do anything after this show, that would be it. And you can also stay updated through our Facebook and Twitter, which are both at /RRPodcast. And if you have photos of yourself dressed up at the premiere, or just photos of, like, the line at your theater or whatever, feel free to post them on our Facebook, or, you know, send twitpic us on Twitter. We'll retweet you. We want to see the fans. And you can discuss with other listeners in the comments on this episode. And, of course, please contact us for anything at all at comments@rebellionradiopodcast.com. Please, everybody, send in your thoughts of the movie, what you disliked, what you liked, something that we didn't discuss, something you want us to discuss, if you agree or disagree with us. We want to hear it. Send it to us, and we'll read it off in the next show. And also, we'll be talking about the companion CD, most likely the score, and just other stuff that comes in about the movie. Thanks, everyone, for listening. I'm Hurley Commons.
I'm Alex Bolova.
I'm Melania Thomas.
And I'm April Grisanti.
Fight the Capitol and the hunger to end the rebellion.
forgot to put a spoiler warning for the intro to this.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, okay. Spoiler alert.
Okay. Spoilers!
I mean, don't watch your movie review episode if you haven't watched the movie. Let's get into it.
Pretty much. Are crazy.
Some people are loco. Okay, so everyone carefully stop their audacity.
All right. Hasta la vista. Please, God, let it work.